So even today, there's a whole lot of folk that claim to be religious. There's a whole lot of folk that's talking about heaven that's not going there. And one day he's going to bring out the heart. And we'll know who the true people are. See, because up until this time, people thought the Pharisees, oh man, these guys are so religious. They walk down the street, and if they want to do a good deed, they blow the trumpet so that everybody can see what they're getting ready to do. They fast, they tithe, they did all these religious things. But when Jesus Christ came and he poked their hearts, he brought to light what was in the depth of their hearts.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we conclude our series titled, God Came to Us. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God Came to Us to give us hope on this journey.
And today we're going to be in the second chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And as I come to share on this Sunday before Christmas, there has been something that has just arrested my heart this week, and what it was this song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And what arrested my attention particularly was that first stanza that says, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. So if you can imagine, here is the Christ child, and it says, in deep and dreamless sleep. And everything continued on as normal. The stars went by in the sky. But in the dark streets where sin abounds, in the dark streets where wickedness prevails, in the dark street where there's all kind of evil, is the everlasting light. The everlasting light. And in particular, the thing that grabbed my attention the most was this last sentence right here that says, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Jesus is the hope in the midst of our fears. If you put up that next slide, Mark Robinson, who is a pastor, was commenting on this particular verse right here, and I thought that he put it in a way that I couldn't say it any better, so I figured I'd just quote him. He says the idea that Jesus Christ comforts our deepest fears and provides for us our greatest hope is an amazingly powerful message. Our deepest fear is death. Our greatest hope is eternal life in fellowship with our Creator, the salvation of our souls. Truly, 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 in Christ, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Jesus is the hope in the midst of our fears. As we look at this character by the name of Simeon, we see a couple of things about him that I want to point out. In verse 25, it says that he was just, which meant that he lived a righteous life. He was a God-fearing man. But not only was he just, but the scripture goes on to say he was devout. And that meant that he was dedicated. He was dedicated to the Lord. Now, Christ hadn't come as of yet, but he still had a dedication in his heart to the Lord. But notice what it says in verse 25, that it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation means encouragement. That word consolation means a lifter out of discouragement. That word consolation means to lift somebody out of disappointment. But let me put it in terms of what I want to say in this sermon, and I want to say that that word, more than anything else, symbolizes hope. And so Simeon was waiting for the hope of Israel. He was waiting for this Messiah that was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, who would come from the seed of the woman. He was waiting for the hope of Israel. It goes on to let us know that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, we know that in the New Testament, the Holy Ghost comes and dwells in us. But throughout the Old Testament economy, the Holy Spirit came and went. But it came this particular time upon Simeon. Another interesting thing that we see is that he said that he didn't want to die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. Look at verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He didn't want to die before he saw Christ. Now, another thing we can point out about Simeon, a couple weeks ago we had a baby dedication, and people have asked us about doing different things for babies as far as what do we do here at Bethany? Well, we dedicate babies unto the Lord. And we believe that that's the biblical format for dealing with the child. And I talk about the fact that Samuel in the Old Testament was dedicated. And here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to Simeon, and Simeon dedicated him for the Lord's anointing. And so in verses 27 and 28, we read, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him in his arms and blessed the Lord and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." And so he lifts up Jesus and he dedicates him to the Lord. And after he dedicates Christ, he makes a prophecy. And look at this prophecy beginning in verse 33. And Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. What does that mean? That means that because of Jesus, there would be those who would fall. They would not believe. They would criticize. They would ridicule. They would tear him down. They would not believe. And as a result of that, they would fall. But oh, hallelujah, there's a group that would believe. There's a group that he said, Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's a group that would follow him. There's a group that would accept him. And Simeon said, It's for the what? The rising of the many. It's for the fall of some, but it's for the rising of the many. And he shall be for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. And so there was a lot of religious people back in this day. There were so many religious sects that you couldn't keep number of them. Everybody claiming to be religious. But it says here that Christ would bring, he would pierce the hearts, and those who were truly following God, he would bring out their hearts. And those who were flim-flam, those who were religious but lost, he would bring out their heart too. And so even today, there's a whole lot of folk that claim to be religious. There's a whole lot of folk that's talking about heaven that's not going there. And one day he's going to bring out the heart. And we'll know who the true people are. See, because up until this time, people thought the Pharisees, oh man, these guys are so religious. They walk down the street, and if they want to do a good deed, they blow the trumpet so that everybody can see what they're getting ready to do. They fast, they tithe, they did all these religious things. But when Jesus Christ came and he poked their hearts, he brought to light what was in the depth of their heart. And he also brought to light the ones who had truly followed him. And so in this, we see that Simeon proclaimed the consolation of Israel, the hope of Israel. Let me go back to that song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. In 1868, an Episcopalian pastor by the name of Philip Brooks was in charge of a Christmas service at his church. He wanted a Christmas song, but he couldn't find anything to fit the bill. So he decided to write his own song. The song that he wrote for this Christmas Eve service was O Little Town of Bethlehem. And as we think about this song that he sang and that these children sang on that Christmas Eve in 1800s back in Philadelphia, that this song has endured the test of time. I was reading somewhere last week, and it said that the best sellers in the iTunes music store is only at the top of the charts for 15 days. And then it begins to decline. It says that even contemporary worship and praise songs, that the most that they last are about 15 years. But this song that Brooks wrote has lasted for 150 years. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What a timeless song. What a song that rings out throughout eternity. And so I want to share with you this morning, what does it mean when we talk about the fact that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in him tonight? Simeon said, we looked for the consolation of Israel. We looked for the hope of Israel. What does that mean? Well, the first thing that I want to say, as we look at fear, if you'll go to that slide right there, there are three things that we fear. We fear that which is within, and I'm going to go into a little detail here in a second. We fear that which is without, and we fear that which is beyond. We fear that which is within, that which is without, and that which is beyond. Now, when you think about fear, if you go to the next slide, we live in a fear-based society. Everything, you know, I was looking at some of the things that are being advertised, some of the hot sellers for Christmas this year. And do you realize how many of them are actually fear-based? They have a wallet that you can buy. And in this wallet that you can, and this is one of the hot sellers for this for Christmas. In this wallet that you can buy, they have some type of shield so that somebody standing next to you can't. Now, it's unbelievable that people, we live in an evil and wicked world, which I don't understand. That somebody can stand right beside you with some kind of scanner and scan through your pocket, scan your credit card numbers, get your license number, your social security number, and go somewhere and charge something or open up an account in your name. Wow. So what do they have now? They make wallets so that people can't do that. Well, what is that? What is that based on? That's based on fear, right? Man, I'm afraid, what, that somebody might scan my stuff. So I better go get one of these wallets. Now, I was watching another thing where they were talking about this this battery that you can have in your car. It's about that big. And in case your battery dies, and you can just take this battery, you can put it in your glove compartment. Now, not only does this battery, you know, we go on and we it does multiple things. You know, you can it has a USB port so it can charge your phone, your tablet, and all the other stuff. But the main thing is if you are somewhere in the middle of the night and your battery dies in your car, that you would have this little battery that you could go pop the hood, hook it up to your battery, and your car would start up. Hot seller. Based on what? Fear. Based on fear. So we live in a fear-based society. Yet Brooks said, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. There are over 500 phobias in the world today. That's a whole lot. All kind of fears. I shared with y'all a couple of times. There's ecclesiophobia, which is the fear of coming to church. There's homilophobia, which is the fear of sermons, which is probably why people have ecclesiophobia, because they don't want to come to church. So there's all kind of fears. And it's been approximated by the National Institute of Mental Health back in 2003. So I think things have, as the song says, Jesus, you know, if you look here below, it's worse now than then. So I believe this figure is probably worse than it was then, but approximately 6.3 million Americans, adult ages 18 to 54, or about 4.4%, have some type of specific fear. So that means here today that there is a percentage of you who are sitting here that you are afraid of something. You are afraid of something. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I know one of my fears. I'm just going to tell you. I'm afraid of big dogs. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm telling you, y'all can boo me out. You can go look for another church if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, if you get sick and you're at home and you got a big dog, I'll call you up. And I'll pray for you over the phone. Now, if you're in the hospital, I'll come see you. I remember one time I was going to see one of the saints here at Bethany when I first got here. And I went in and opened the gate and, you know, closed it and walked up on the door. And all of a sudden, man, the biggest German shepherd came out and just I saw him. He just was coming at me like that. And somehow, I couldn't do this today. I made it down the steps, and I don't know how I did it, but I hit the top of the fence. My feet didn't touch anything, and I was over the fence. Fear will make you do some things that you didn't think you could do. I thought my athletic days was over, but they came back real quick. Fear. So we all are struggling with some type of fear, and some are gripped by fear more than others. So let me break this down, and then we're going to let you go. The first thing that I want to say is that we fear that which is within. But there's hope, as Brooks reminded us. There's hope, as Simeon reminded us. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. There is hope for those fears within. Philippians chapter 1. Now, when we think about fears within, we see that there are probably a couple of kinds, but I just tried to pick out maybe two key ones. First of all, there's the fear of failure. People feel that they're going to fail, and so they don't want to try anything. They don't want to step out. They don't want to risk anything because they feel like they're going to fail. And so we need to realize that this is something that paralyzes us. Many people will not reach their full potential because of fear, that they can't get beyond some things. You know, I think of John Madden. Many of you may remember John Madden. He used to coach the Oakland Raiders back during the years when they would play the Pittsburgh Steelers when LC was playing. And there would always be those vicious rivalries between the Steelers and the Raiders. You know, I mean, it was just a vicious rivalry. Well, John Madden was a head coach. And John Madden, after he finished coaching, he became a commentator. And as a commentator, you got to go all over the country to cover games. But John Madden had a problem. He was afraid to fly. And so they built a special bus for John Madden that drove him all over the country from game to game because he had this fear of flying. And so what limited him? So if there was a game that was outside the continental U.S., guess what? John Madden couldn't go because the bus couldn't drive across water. And it would take too long any other way. So his fear, even though he was able to do some things, his fear did limit him in other ways. And sometimes our fear can grip us. But why did Jesus come? Jesus came so that he would meet our fear within. Those fears, those things that we struggle within. See, we need to be like the little boy, you know, who didn't fear failure. He was out in his front yard. He had a baseball bat and a ball. And he threw it up, swung, and missed it. And he said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. He threw the ball up again, swung, and missed it. He said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. He took the ball, threw it up, swung, and missed it again. He said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. And then somebody said, well, how come you keep missing the ball? If you're the greatest batter, how come you keep missing it? He took the ball, threw it up, and said, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. So, failure. See, we have to realize that failure will hinder us. The little boy didn't let failure hinder him. He kept right on pushing. He kept right on going. Another thing that hinders us within is we fear and become paranoid.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God Came to Us to Give Us Hope on This Journey. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God Came to Us to Give Us Hope on This Journey, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request God came to us to give us hope on this journey. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request God came to us to give us hope on this journey.
If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.